Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes to Goal podcast. If you're new around here, I'm a late bloomer who discovered the power of goals in his mid-30s. Now I'm on a furious mission to create the accelerators I wish I had in my 20s. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about five things I learned when I took 30 days off. And I'll be upfront, I am terrible at taking time off. Are there any fellow workaholics listening today? Anybody who likes to get after it constantly until it becomes a problem? Anybody have their hand raised right now? Anyone else absolutely stink at vacation? If you're not a workaholic, it's crazy to think you could suck at vacation, but I'm telling you, I do. Or I used to. I'm getting a little bit better. So me too. You're in the right place and you're going to love this episode because I'm going to tell you the five things I learned when I took 30 days off. But first, let's hear a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. Did you know that 96% of people feel they're not tapping into their full potential? 96% of people. That's most people. Now, the good news is, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not most people. You and I can be the 4% that open every gift they have and enjoy every bit of potential. So how exactly do we do this? Well, all it takes is a goal. In fact, I wrote a whole book about it, and my three-step plan will help you escape the comfort zone, avoid the chaos zone, and live in the potential zone. What if each day felt like a gift, and each year got progressively better? It can, and my book shows you how. Today is the day that you can unleash your full potential. All It Takes is a Goal is now available wherever books are sold. You can also pick up a copy at atgbook.com. That's atgbook.com. All right, let's jump into the episode. I'm trying something new for those wicked busy people out there. You guys are busy. You're super. I don't know when you guys are listening to these like 5-hour podcasts. How do you do it? People will come up to me and they'll be like, oh, you got to check out this podcast. And they'll send it to me. It'll be like 19 hours long. And I'm like, whew, I'm going to have to take a vacation just to listen to this episode. You're really busy. So I'm going to give you a 30-second version of this entire podcast, just in case you're walking into your office, the kids are having a no-nap meltdown, or, you know, you just finished your time on the treadmill. Like, the workout's over. I got to get back to my regular day. Let's go. Okay, you ready? Here's the entire episode in 30 seconds. Write down, I'm taking 30 days off. And then listen to the first thoughts that come up. Listen to your reaction, because every reaction is an education. Your thoughts are educating you about what you really believe. If they're negative, decide if you want to keep them. If they're positive, start working on that goal. Need more than 30 seconds? Cool. I got a whole episode for you. So about 15 years ago, a man I talked to at a conference changed my life. I didn't know he would at the time, and it probably would have been super weird if I declared that there in the Marriott ballroom. I know we just met and we've only talked for 7 minutes, but 15 years from now, this conversation will have a profound impact on how I approach life and work, sir. When you look at your own life, I bet the monumental moments were as paper thin when they happened. So a friend casually says, hey, I think you'd like this guy I work with. And 20 years later, you're still married to him. Or an old coworker you haven't talked to in forever forwards a job opportunity via Facebook, and 5 years later, you still work at that company. Or a neighbor mentioned they took a trip to Nashville, and 8 years later, your family still lives in Tennessee, a state you'd never thought of until that conversation by your mailbox. Little moments tend to have big impacts. So what did that man at that work conference say to me 15 years ago? I spend July on the Cape. That was the whole sentence. I spend July on the Cape. That's a weird sentence, unless you grew up in Massachusetts like I did. But what he was saying was that every July, he went to Cape Cod. He took the entire month off from work. And that blew my mind. I'd never heard of anyone doing such a thing. At the time, I worked for Bose, the stereo company in Framingham, Massachusetts. They make home theater systems, wave radios, car systems, headphones. And at the time, I had about 10 days of vacation time each year. And I had to dole those out very carefully, like sprinkling a few days at Thanksgiving, a few days at Christmas, and then maybe, just maybe, let's not get crazy, maybe a day around the 4th of July. And yet, here was this guy and he was taking off an entire month. In moments like that, when I'm exposed to something that sounds amazing slash impossible, because that certainly did. 30 days off, dude, come on. That sounds amazing, but also kind of impossible. In moments like that, I tend to have one of two reactions. Number one, must be nice. And number two, I'm going to figure out how to do that. Be honest. Be honest. Did you think that first one when you read like the title of this podcast episode? Like when you heard me say the title of this podcast episode, like when I said five things I learned when I took 30 days off, did you go, oh, geez, here we go. Like that might as well say seven things I learned owning a yacht or why I always travel by helicopter. You're not traveling by helicopter? You're out of your mind. I would have thought must be nice when I was reading this title of this podcast or listening to this episode at the beginning, because that's how I reacted initially when that guy told me I spend July on the Cape. Like I quickly wrapped up that idea in a bit of jealousy and filed it away as something I could never accomplish. But it haunted me a bit over the years. I thought about it from time to time. I kept his business card in my desk. I still have his business card. That business card has moved from Massachusetts to Atlanta and now Nashville. That business card has seen some stuff. And I would take it out every now and then, and I would wonder, like, could I ever build a life where I took a month off? Better yet, could I have a high-performing business and still take a month off? Grind culture, like hustle, hustle, hustle all the time culture, like sleep when you're dead culture, would say no. When you own your own business, you work more, not less. You got to put in 80-hour work weeks. You got to hustle. Only I don't accept that. I don't accept that to own a successful business, I have to be an unsuccessful dad. I don't accept that to have a great career, you have to have an average marriage. I don't accept that. I don't accept that to excel in one area of your life, the other areas have to suffer. So I decided to take the month of July off this summer. So a couple months ago, I took the entire month off. Here's what I learned. Number one thing I learned, work was my identity. If your identity is wrapped up in what you do for a living, when you stop doing it, who are you? If work is the only place you feel worth, guess what you feel when you're not working? Worthless. Yowza. A counselor once told me years and years ago, he said, John, it'll be a great day when you accomplish nothing and still know you're worth something. It took me, honestly, about 8 days to stop feeling itchy in July. If you're good at vacation, I'm envious. Like if you're the type of person who can unplug from work by the time you get on the airplane for your trip, I'm so jealous. If you're already relaxed by the time you pull away from your driveway for a trip, I'm jealous of you. I'm not that way. I am that way with sleeping. Like I can fall asleep so fast. It drives my wife nuts. Like when I turn the light off, when I stop reading and close my eyes, I'm asleep in like 30 seconds. And then if I ever tell her like, I had a hard time falling asleep last night. She's like, yeah, I was there. It took you 96 seconds. So don't tell anybody else you talk to who probably didn't get sleep that you have a hard time sleeping. I can turn off for sleep very easily, but I'm not good at turning off for vacation. It takes me a long time to settle in. I was real itchy for the first 8 days of July. And I wanted to check emails. I wanted to call clients. I wanted to write newsletters and I wanted to move projects forward. I probably would have done all of that, but Jenny held me accountable. Before the trip, she even said, hey, I don't want to see you packing 23 nonfiction business books so you can secretly work while looking like you're not working. Any other people ever do that? Like when you go on vacation, do you ever find yourself packing more books than you can physically read? You go, man, I'm probably going to need five. I'm going to need a separate bag just for books. Like I'm just going to take like 12 books just in case I finish two books per day. That's the first thing I learned. I had my work as my identity. Number two, I got more done because of the break. So I started working on my plan for the month off about 6 months before I took it. So I started in like January thinking about July. going, okay, what would I need to make happen? And in February, I was working on it. In March, I was working on it. And the closer I got to it, the more focused I became. I wrote newsletters ahead of time. I batch recorded podcast episodes ahead of time. I even got 20,000 words ahead on a book I was writing. The commitment to take a month off made me work smarter on all my other commitments. You've experienced this too, to a degree. Have you ever found yourself like the week before vacation, you knock out a lot of work? Like the day before, your head might already be on the vacation. Like it's hard to focus the absolute day before, but the week before with that vacation coming up, you find this extra gear. That's what it was like. I had 30 days coming up and I got all these extra gears to get stuff done before it actually happened. Number three, I fell in love with thinking. Third thing I learned, I fell in love with thinking. Before I left, I spoke with my counselor, different guy from the first guy I mentioned. I must go to a lot of counseling. So this counselor said to me, you're still going to work. It's just going to be a different type of work. You'll still be writing. It will just be a different type of writing. And he was correct. My creativity, my drive, my hope, my passion for life didn't disappear. It just got funneled in other places. And one of the biggest places I got funneled to was thinking. I suddenly had time to think. I had time to write down something I was curious about and then spend an hour journaling it. Like if I had a thought, I could pull the thread on the thought and just sit there and see where the thought went. I could draw the thought out. And then in one of those moments we've all had, the topic of thinking started popping up everywhere I looked. Like the more I thought and the more I realized, wow, I'm better when I have some thinking time. I started to notice thinking as a craft in all these different places. So in the book, The Road Less Stupid, which is by Keith J. Cunningham, The Road Less Stupid, he teaches a really simple system to practice thinking. Earl Nightingale, I was listening to an old school Earl Nightingale recording, and he talked about the art of thinking. And then random friends mentioned the value of thinking. I couldn't escape that word. It's like everywhere I looked, people were talking about thinking. And I never have time in my normal life to think because I'm so busy doing. But in July, I did. I spent 60 hours thinking. I know this because I kept track of the hours in my notebook. I'm a goal nerd. This podcast is about goals. I just released a brand new book called All It Takes is a Goal. So when I find something I'm passionate about or curious about, I turn it into a goal because then I can actually accomplish it. So I wrote down how many hours I thought in July, and I thought 60 hours. That's awesome. So when I returned to work in August, I now had a new habit. Thinking wasn't a luxury, it was a necessity. And I've become obsessed with seeking wisdom and doing that through thought and through reading and through listening and through wise counsel. Now I've really put a priority on it. I'll probably do an episode about that in 2024. I want to have a few more spins before I teach the ideas of learning. The way I like to work is I try something in my own life. If it goes well, I try it with a bunch of other people. And if it goes well there, then I teach it to a bunch of people on a podcast, in a book, etc. So expect for me to do some sort of podcast episode about wisdom at some point in the future. Number four thing I learned, mo money doesn't equal mo problems. Mo money doesn't equal mo problems. I, as a person, have a lot of broken soundtracks related to money. So remember, a soundtrack is just my phrase for repetitive thought you listen to again and again. And I have a lot of broken ones about money. I'm working on them right now, and at some point might create some episodes about money and how we think about it. But until then, I'll share one of my broken soundtracks, and that is mo money, mo problems. I blame Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, I don't know what he's going, but Sean Combs, whatever his name is right now, Mace, and B-I-G-P-O-P-P-A, no info for the DEA, because I listened to that song, Mo Money, Mo Problems, 1,000 times in college, but I'm not sure that's technically where the soundtrack started. Like it probably started earlier on in my life. To me, mo money, mo problems means that if you build a company, if you try to grow, if you try to be successful, you'll increase the number of problems you have. More success equals more problems. Therefore, you should strive for less success. Unless you want big problems, you should stay small. If you grow something, you won't be able to rest, so better to play it safe. That's always what happens with the thoughts we choose to believe. And the reason why is simple. Your thoughts turn into actions, your actions turn into results. So if I believe mo money, mo problems, that more success equals more problems, then of course I'm going to pull back and go, well, I don't want problems. I don't want more stress. I don't want more chaos. I don't want more challenges and issues. So I better play it safe. I better play it small. That soundtrack played on loop in my head for most of my life. But this summer, I finally learned it's not true. How do I know it's not true? Well, I've owned a company for 10 years, and this is the most profitable year we've ever had. And it's also the year that I took the most vacation. In fact, the only reason I was able to take vacation was because the company was successful. But what about all those really successful people you know who never see their kids or who never take vacation or never have time for their friends? There are a ton of those folks, but guess what? They are choosing that. They're making choices to do that. Mo money, mo problems is not a law. It's a choice. Could I have made more money if I worked in July? Maybe. But how much is a solid month of hiking and talking with my college-age daughter worth? Like, what's the price tag on that? I chose mo money, mo vacations. I just made a different choice, and you can make it too. And then the fifth one, must be nice, is an invitation to self-awareness. So what if the next time you found yourself thinking, oh, must be nice, like when something happened for somebody else or you saw something good happen for them, what if the next time you said you must be nice, you paused and asked, do I really want that thing I just saw? Do I really want that? Because maybe you don't. Maybe the influencer who is driving an RV has a life you don't really want. You only said must be nice because for a fleeting moment, you imagined having an unfettered life without any responsibilities. But if you really thought about it, you wouldn't want to be waking up in a hot RV in a Walmart parking lot, learning to edit videos that make it look like you weren't essentially living in a van down by the river and missing everyone who loved you at home. So you can dismiss that must be nice. Or maybe you do want the thing. The overlanding life is the life for you. When you find yourself saying must be nice, pause, have a little bit of self-awareness, and then say, I wonder if I can figure out how to do that. I'm fine with you saying must be nice. If you realize, wait a second, that is nice, and then you go work to make that nice thing happen for you. I'm not okay with you saying it must be nice if it's an excuse or reason not to try. I'm going to take next July off too. I'm going to see if I can make that a habit. I love what I do. I returned renewed and refreshed in August, raring to go. I mean, look at all the alliteration in that last sentence. Like, did you hear it? I was renewed and refreshed, raring to go. That alliteration is probably because I took some time off and I was able to really think about alliteration. Wow, that time off really paid off. Now, if you can't take 30 days off right now or next year, or maybe for the next few years, remember, this took me 15 years to figure out. I still think there's something you could try today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down, I'm going to take 30 days off. And then listen to the first soundtracks or thoughts that come up. Listen to your reaction, because every reaction is an education. Your thoughts are educating you about what you really believe about your life and yourself. Were your first thoughts, I can never do that. People in my career can't do that. That would be impossible. I can't afford that. Or were they positive? Did you think, you know what? I bet I can figure that out. There are so many amazing things I could do during that month. What am I waiting for? I need to get started on this plan. If your soundtracks are negative, decide if you want to keep them. Decide if you're okay with that. Decide if like you want to keep those broken soundtracks. If your soundtracks are positive and you really want to make it happen, read my brand new book, All It Takes Is a Goal. We'll link it in the show notes. It will give you practical, tactical steps to making your goals happen, even goals like taking 30 days off or 2 weeks off or whatever your number is. That's all you need is a goal. My goal of taking 30 days off took 15 years, but I bet you can do it a lot faster than me. When you do, I promise that I won't say, must be nice. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing my podcast. The reviews you write are super encouraging. Here's one I recently saw from NH103, making a crucial subject entertaining. We all have goals and we all have fears. John's podcast speaks in a way that we can feel good about not being the only one who has fears, who has challenges, and that we can tackle them, whatever they are. He talks in a very understandable and entertaining way. This podcast is also a great link to listen to on a walk or a car ride to work. That's awesome. And H, thanks for writing that. I do try to keep them fairly short. I think about like 20-ish minutes. Thank you for writing that. Make sure you subscribe or follow whatever it is the kids are saying these days. And please write a review. I'll see you next week. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.